So I think there is this perception that in 1914, when the First World War comes along, you have this, not only in Germany, but across Europe amongst all the combatant nations, you've got this great upsurge, this outpouring of patriotic fervour. And there is this, what I think is now quite an old-fashioned idea, that sort of people across Europe go off to war with a whoop and a holler and everyone's really excited. And then only gradually is there war weariness. I think there's an element of that in all the countries and in Germany. So in July, 25th July 1914, you get big crowds gathering outside newspaper offices and in public places to hear the news about the Serbian response to the Austrian ultimatum. And people sort of look at that and shake their heads and go home. And then on the 1st of August, as the July crisis kind of comes to a head, and Germany declares war, there are these popular demonstrations. There are patriotic songs sung, there are cheers, there are people waving flags and stuff like that. And then there's a sort of crunch moment on the 4th of August when there's a Reichstag debate and the parliament meets to vote on war credits. And there's some concern that at that point the various political parties will, particularly the Social Democrats, will turn against the war effort. But to the surprise of the government, this doesn't happen. And everyone falls into line. And the Kaiser gives quite a famous speech after that where he declares a domestic truce, which is known as Burgfrieden in German, in which he declares that all civic tensions were suspended for the duration of the war. And to just quote from that speech, the Kaiser says, "Should there be battle, all political parties will cease to exist. I no longer think in terms of parties or confessions. Today we are all German brothers and only German brothers." And certainly this reflects the idea that contemporary commentators and some historians have given, that this is a moment where Germany comes together and this sort of cements the unification of Germany, this creation of a new kind of folk community, a Volksgemeinschaft, that the Nazis are later very keen on, but it's an idea that's knocking about before the First World War. But a lot of the recent research has suggested that even in 1914, this is not necessarily what's going on. That the characterisation of this as a great outpouring of war enthusiasm and national unity is somewhat misleading, and that although there are people in the big cities in particular that are very keen on the war, and although students and right-wing intellectuals are talking about the war as a great opportunity, a chance to sort of put to bed divisions within society and to clear the air internationally, I think there's a research team to suggest that a lot of ordinary people respond to the war with resignation rather than enthusiasm. And that many Germans see war as a necessity, and they're willing to get behind the government for the benefit of the nation, to protect the nation from foreign aggression, but they're not necessarily leaping into the war enthusiastically. And I think what we need to do is look back at this a bit as well, because some of the reasons for this are these deep divisions within German society that have been there going back to the 1870s and German unification and beyond. And we can maybe break these down into several different areas. Now, one of the problems we have is when we talk about national histories, when we talk about German history or British history, there is almost built into that, I think, a tendency to generalise and to think that everybody thought the same way and that everybody went along with things. And obviously we know that's not true, that different groups of people respond to things in different ways. Different individuals within the group respond in a different way. So I'm going to break this down into various different sections, I think, and look at regional, local differences, because Germany is a federal state after all. I'm going to talk a bit about religion, I think, and perhaps class and maybe gender as well. But there are obviously lots of divisions within those subheadings. Again, I'm probably going to generalise quite a lot, but even that is misleading, I think, because we're missing out by doing that, sort of the exceptions that prove the rule sometimes, but also I think sometimes we're in danger of removing individual agency from people or groups of people by doing this.